Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning podcast. It is a treasure to be with you. Today I want to look into a little bit different look, a little deeper look into the foundation verse in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. And I'll just read it for us. It says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And we talked about that last week in relationship to relationships. But there's a very important relationship that we need to talk about today and how that verse is communicated to all of us for us to receive. Oh, and so let's pray and then we'll talk more about it. Father, I thank you so very much for the fact that in your design of creation, it was all done out of love. Even the uniqueness of the design and knowing that man would be stubborn and choose his way, what he thought was better, Lord, which caused sin, rebellion, and it brought a consequence. And that consequence has been suffered by man ever since, and that's called death. But God, you're the God of the living, and you came in your plan, not after the fact, but at the beginning of becoming a man to save mankind. But they have to take a step of faith to surrender to the gift of life that you offer. Oh, it's such a gift as it is. It's freedom from our sin, but also confidence about eternal life, life after our physical death, but the purpose of life that we live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for this time as we ask your blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. So a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And as we look at that passage, the greatest example for us is the example that Christ provides for us on the cross. And so that's what I want to look at today, is how does God communicate a soft answer that turns away wrath? Because the wrath that Christ is going to turn away for our benefit is the judgment that we will face apart from him. Apart from Christ, there's only judgment. But with Christ, the gentle answer turns that away, and there is no harsh word that stirs up anger. No, it only leads to an opportunity of honor. And so we're going to look at that here today. So the first passage that we want to look at is in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23, 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, at the moment of the crucifixion and being raised, being nailed to a cross with his hands stretched out, nailed to a cross, his feet twisted and on top of each other, nailed to a cross, with his body torn to shreds from being scourged, what's his response? My response would be, I would be defending myself. But that is not the heart of God. See, we try to determine who God is by our own reasoning, and that's so faulty. No, we need to determine God by what he says and by what he does. And so, of course, the first thing that Christ does for us, for mankind, is he communicates forgiveness. Oh, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus, recognizing that we are foolish. The next thing that we want to look at is found for us in John chapter 19. John chapter 19 is the heart of God, both for all of mankind, but then he becomes very specific for his own family as we look at verses 26 and 27. Again, when he's raised on the cross, enduring the suffering, difficult to speak. I mean, he has to raise up in order to get a breath, in order to be able to speak. Everything incredibly agonizing. He says this, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, here's Jesus, he's naked before his mother. And before this disciple who are there witnessing this whole ordeal, wishing that it could be different, but confused as to why it's even happening. But he says, woman. He takes the effort to speak to his mom in a respectful way. Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, which we know is John, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He says, Mom, I'm going to provide for you. John, I'm going to use you to provide for my mom. But I'm going to provide for you too, because you're going to need to love. So God does that for us. Is he wants us to consider others more important than ourselves. That's what he tells us in Philippians chapter 2. The next thing that Jesus says on the cross is found in Luke, back to Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And verse 43, and this is Jesus' response to one of the two thieves. One was on his left, one was on his right. One says to him as he's listening to the things that Jesus says, forgive them. As he listens to what he's doing for his mom and his disciple, he turns to Jesus and he says to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, what kingdom would he have hanging on a cross? But yet that thief recognized he was there for just punishment, but that Christ wasn't. And so he saw something different in Christ, and he says to him, Lord. He acknowledges him for who he is. And so what was Jesus' response? He says, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's a kingdom he recognized. There's a kingdom beyond this life. And Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus prophesied to him that said, today you're going to die. Whoa, it's not going to be tomorrow or another day. Whoa, you don't typically die on the cross in a day. It takes days of suffering. But Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. And so the promise is it doesn't matter even if we're at last minute, Christ receives us. We don't have to go do something in order to earn his love or favor. Next, we find in Matthew 27, verse 46. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. So that would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so Jesus makes a statement because of the judgment of God is at its completion, but it's time for him to recognize there's a separation that has to take place. So for us, we can come to a place of despondency where we feel like God has abandoned us, but he has not. No, he's hearing and he's listening to everything. And in fact, Jesus then in John 19:28 says this, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all was finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And so what is it that he's thirsting for? He's thirsting for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that as we recognize all of these things taking place in our own lives, as we recognize God is forgiving, God is concerned for our welfare, God has a promise for us that we will be with Him, that God understands when we come to our end of ourselves. God longs for us to have a thirst for His kingdom. Verse 19, then verse 30 says, "It is finished." And then finally, Luke 23:46. Then Jesus calling out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You see, Jesus gained victory through surrender. That's where we gain victory, is when we surrender our lives to a God who says, "I came to give up everything so that I might gain all of you." So won't you put your trust in a God who rescued us on that cross? God bless you all, and thank you for joining me today.